The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I believe that we're living in the last days, but I also believe that God's people can change the direction of things that are taking place. We can change the outcome of what can happen and will happen in this nation if God's people who are called by His name will pray and seek His face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. We have a responsibility. We have to turn. We can no longer stay doing, continue doing the things that we've been doing. We have to change our lifestyle. We can't live the same way the world lives. We can't operate the same way the world operates. They are in darkness. We have light. We have no excuse. We have the goodness of our God. Hallelujah. I've been talking about connecting to the abundant life. And we know that John 10:10 tells us, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. Destroy everything there is about you. He hates you. He hates every human being that walks on the face of the earth. But he has a particular hatred for you if you are a believer in Christ. And he will do everything he can to stop you, to keep you from making a difference in other people's lives. You see, you as an individual, you might say, well, I can't do anything. I can't change the world. The reality is, you can change the world. We can all change the world, but we do that one encounter at a time. One encounter with people who have needs. One encounter with the forces of darkness that are trying to destroy people's lives, tearing them down, casting them out, taking authority over them, praying for people at the hospital. Amen. Amen. One encounter at a time. That has impacted those people's lives. Whether they believe Jesus is Lord or not, it's impacted their life. And it's going to make them set up and take notice when people talk about Jesus. The reality of where we are in this nation right now is frightening. But there's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope that God's people will cry out. There's hope that God's people will do just like the Israelites of old did. They cried out and said, God, we have sinned, but you have promised that if we will turn our face back to you and turn our ways back to you, you will be there for us. Time after time after time, this took place. But they had to come to the realization. They could not just stand up and say, we're going to do better. We're going to rebuild. You know, like they said with when 9/11 happened, we're going to rebuild this place. We're going to make it better than before. Well, that would have been okay had our nation repented. We saw a semblance of repentance. People started going back to church. And then it just faded away because everything seemed to be getting better. Listen, it's going to take a true repentance and true revival for this nation to get back to where we're supposed to be with our God. But there is hope in Jesus Christ, and there is hope in God's people. We're a society that is never satisfied. We're always wanting something bigger, better, bigger TVs, bigger houses, more cars, supersized Happy Meals and McDonald's meals, better spouses, something better. We're always looking for something better and bigger. And because of this, we spend the majority of our time chasing what we believe to be the American dream. The reality is the American dream originated from the original pilgrims who came to the United States. And that is, they had a dream that they could come to a place where they could worship God in their own way, freely. The American dream has evolved into something that is very distorted from that. The American dream now is to be able to live a comfortable life. to have everything we want and to be able to just say, I want that and get it. The American dream has been fulfilled through credit. And we're in big trouble right now. Big, big trouble. Unless God's people come to the realization of where they are and what they're doing with their money and how they're spending and how they're not saving and how they're not doing the things that God has called them to do, to give and make sure that others are taken care of, because we don't have the resources to do it. We've got ourselves so far in debt that we can't do it. Now listen, I'm speaking to us as a church, as the whole body of Christ. And I'm not leaving myself out of this. I have to be as much aware of these things in my life. I want things as much as you do. I'd like to have. You know, recently, we've had to have a car. We had to have a vehicle to be able to get around. That's something everyone has to have in our society these days. You have to have. But we don't have to have a brand new one with all the bells and whistles. Sometimes we just need to realize that we don't have to go so far into debt. In fact, maybe it would be better for us to purchase a used car. If you want bells and whistles, get a used one that has bells and whistles on it. That's more of that's being a lot wiser with the money that God gives you. We have got to realize where we are in this nation right now, and the body of Christ must come to the realization that the finances that God gives us is an important aspect of living in the abundance. And when I talk about abundance, I know first thing people start thinking about is money. Well, we need to get away from that, because that's our problem. We go directly to money as a evidence that we're living in abundance. Well, listen, I've seen and I know many, many people who have money that are not living in abundance. Their life is miserable. And I know many people, many Christians who have wealth, or at least they call themselves Christians, and every other thing in their life is falling apart. That's not abundance. The abundant life Jesus was talking about is a well-rounded, whole lifestyle that is abundantly, abundantly filled up with Him and His power. The abundance that we need in our lives is the power of God. In the late 1950s, let me back up here a little bit. In 1950s, the American family owned one car and saved for a second one. In 2012, American families, on the average, have three cars, and they owe on all three of them. That's a change in mindset since the 1950s till now. A total different way of looking at things, a way of thinking that's prosperity is what our problem is. Americans spend 15% of their household incomes on things that they don't really need. Things to satisfy their desires. The average American spends $2,600 a year on eating out. That's four times the average person in the world's yearly income. Isn't that incredible? Now, I'm not telling you can't eat out. I enjoy eating out as much as anybody, probably more than most of you. I love to go eat out. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we just need to make sure that we're getting everything in order. Yes, that's right. That we have an order of things. That we're being aware of where our money is going and what we're doing. American consumers spend $3 trillion annually buying discretionary and luxury products and services. $3 trillion. Let me put it in perspective. We have twice as many shopping malls as we have high schools. I wonder where our priorities are. Let me tell you what has brought us to this place in our life in the United States. In the late 1940s, early 50s, a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow introduced his perspective or his ideas of human nature. And he called it self-actualization. Now, self-actualization is really not a new thing. It was an old belief system that, whether he knew it or not, he was pulling it from ancient times. It was Epicureanism. And Epicurus believed that man was basically good at heart, and everything he did was just to fulfill his needs. And that's the way to find fulfillment and happiness in life. Abraham Maslow taught, and his teachings are still being taught throughout our culture. It started in higher education, and it's filtered down into our lower educational systems, into our high schools, our junior highs, and our elementary schools. It permeates our society, and it affects Christians today. I know it affects Christians today because I look around and see people trying to fulfill their needs or their desires to become happy. And that's the philosophy. If I can get everything I want, I will be happy, happy, happy. The reality is, you don't become happy. You don't really get joy out of having all your needs fulfilled. Jesus taught something totally different than that. He taught that if you wanted to be great in his kingdom, that rather than focusing on yourself, you would focus on other people. You would focus on serving others, not serving yourself. But we have it all turned around. We have it in this. We have this picture of being fulfilled, having our life fulfilled by having all the things that we dreamed of receiving and having. This is a hard word because it makes us set up and take notice of what's really in our hearts. What we really believe. But what the Word of God teaches is something totally different than what we have been taught in our school system and in our educational system, and particularly those of you who went to college. I'm absolutely positive that you had these teachings inserted into your life. You were indoctrinated with these things. I know that for a fact because I see what happens both in secular and Christian counselors, sometimes in Christian counseling, and we try to be very careful that we're not allowing this to happen here at Bethel Worship Center when we do counseling. And that is that when people come in and say, I am not happy, that we don't point them in the direction of moving away from the things that make them unhappy, because I've seen it happen too many times. And sometimes that thing that makes them unhappy is their spouse. You hear what I'm saying? And if we're doing that in Christian counseling, we're doing just the opposite of what the Word of God said. The Word of God says that you work on the issues and you fix the problems. And you recognize that no matter what you feel, your feelings are not what's important. You look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But those unseen things, they're the eternal things. They're what we're looking for. They're what we're desiring. There's a Japanese proverb that says, even if you sleep in a 1,000-mat room, you can only sleep on one mat. I like that proverb. Because it doesn't matter how many cars you have, you can only drive one. Doesn't matter how many houses you have, you only live in one. Doesn't matter how much money you have, there's only a certain amount that you can do with it. We need to learn to receive satisfaction from who we are in Christ rather than what we desire and what we want. I'm not opposed to people having things. I want you to understand that I believe that part of what Christ wants for you is for you to be blessed in everything that you do and whatever you put your hands to. I believe that is true. But we must get it all in order. We must recognize that God must be first. And second is other people. That's what Jesus taught us. He said, he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if we can get those two things in order, then everything else will fall into place for us. Our problem is that we have exalted ourselves to the status of God. That's what we're worshiping. It's our own desires, our own dreams, our own hopes, our own fulfillment. That's chasing the American dream, not the dream that God has for you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says this, "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." If we truly want to live in the abundant life Jesus promised, we must seek and do the things of God. We must sow properly. We must sow our seed according to God's will in our life. And listen to me, when it comes to sowing, I'm talking about sowing in every area of your life. When it comes to sowing your seed, if I sow corn in the spring, how long does it take corn to come up? It takes a few weeks, doesn't it, for it to spring up. When you sow something right now, you can guarantee that there's going to be a harvest, but it's going to take time for that harvest to come. So when you're sowing into relationships, you have to sow. Husbands and wives, you have to sow into that relationship. And don't expect because I sowed today that tomorrow I'm going to reap everything that I expected. Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. Keep on. You have to sow into that relationship. And then you will begin to reap and reap and reap. Relationships in the church. Sow into those relationships. We have big problems in the body of Christ. When Christians come into church and one sits on this side and one sits on that side because they can't stand each other, there's a big problem. Jesus said, you'll know them because they love one another. Know them by their love. We're to love one another. And if we can't do that in the church, what do we expect the world to do outside of here? How are we going to love others who persecute us if we can't love one another? When elders and deacons and leaders in the church are at odds with one another, we can't have that kind of stuff in the church. And I'm not talking particularly about Bethel Worship Center. So we don't have those issues right now. Praise God. But I'm talking about the church at large, God's body. We've got to clean up our act, move wholly and completely in the direction that Jesus Christ wants us to. Amen. Benjamin Franklin said this, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain. And most fools do. We got to get our attitudes right with the kingdom. I want to share with you connecting to the abundant life. And I already started talking about stewardship. I want to continue in that vein this morning. And a steward, of course, is one that is employed in a large household. Or a servant who handles all the materials of his owner, of his either the one he works for or the one that he is a slave for. Now I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It says this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when that, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Okay, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Here's what I want us to see. In the beginning of this, it tells us to take the word of God and do not depart from it. The word of God gives believers potential for abundance. Now, everyone that has been listening to this series of messages, you know that I have talked about you have to get connected first. You know how important it is to being connected so that you can have abundance in your life. The way you become connected is through Jesus Christ, receiving Him as your personal Savior. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. You are baptized in water. That's the second step to being completely and totally connected. I likened it unto the electrical system. Here at church, we have a three-phase system. You have to have all three phases hooked up in order to have complete power. The third baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word of God. If you want to know more about that, you need to get those teachings, because I went into detail about it and how it works. So we are connected. Once we get that, we are connected. But when we're connected, there is a system of things that must be done in our life. And I'm not talking about religious orders and religious traditions. I'm talking about following the Word of God. Does everybody in here understand a breaker system in your breaker box and your electrical system? You know, there's a whole panel, particularly here at church. You look in the panels and there's just dozens of breakers. And each one of those breakers is connected to a different circuit. And I kind of like in our connection, we have the full power once we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We're water baptized, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. However, we have to take the Word of God and turn on each breaker in our life. Because if we don't access those breakers through the Word of God, see, when I flip, have you ever had a breaker flip in your house? Everybody? Anyone knows what I'm talking about? The power goes off just like that, right? It's gone. Here's the interesting thing. You have the power to reset that breaker. But you have to go and do it. You have to go to the box, right? You have to go to the panel and flip it back on. Sometimes we let our breakers kick. Amen. But we have the power to flip those breakers back on, flip that power back on in our life. Every one of us. Amen. You know, that's right. That's good. You don't have to sit in the darkness. We have the light. We know how to get back. We all do that from time to time. We sometimes let those breakers kick in our life. And as believers in Jesus Christ, what we have to do is be wise enough to recognize, hey, I let the power go out. Let's go back and get it taken care of. I can kick it back on. All I have to do is go to the Word of God, find out what the Word says about this situation, and live in that power. I turn it back on in my life. And those of you who have not accessed that power, all those breakers are turned off and you need them turned on. You need them turned on in relationships so that you have power in relationships. It comes from the Word of God. You have the access. It's there. You have access to it. But you must access it. Let me show you what the Word of God says. I want this to come alive for you. Psalms 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. It's the Word that brought everything into existence. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, is what it says. Jesus is that Word. But that Word is also the spoken Word. That Word is also this written Word that we have, the Logos Word. But that Word will not become life to you until it becomes what the Bible calls rhema. Every one of us can read the Bible. And I can read the same scripture over and over and over, and one time I'll read that scripture and it comes to life. That's when it's rhema to me. That's when it's rhema to you. It becomes a life-giving source. In Psalms 119, David said this, chapter 11, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's the word of God, you see, that will keep us on the right track. These things that I talked about, I was talking about with self-actualization, it basically says that you can achieve everything you want to achieve by being self-aware and knowing what your desires are. Okay? That's contrary to what the word of God says. Contrary to God's teaching. So what we must realize, what we must do, is recognize that God has called us to understand what His Word says. But in this world, let me tell you what's happening. We are being filled up with the world system and the self-actualization teachings on a regular basis. And it comes from radio, TV, worldly systems and situations, places where you work. It's all around you. And if you allow those things to give you more input than the Word of God, guess what you're going to follow? You're going to follow those teachings rather than the teachings of the Word of God. So it's really important that we recognize these systems that God has for us. It's not, you know, you do this, this, and this. It's not so much that you've got to follow a pattern. It's that you have to hear and see what the Word of God says so that you can live by it. All right, the second thing I want to talk about this morning, and we're wrapping up. Second thing is God's people must obey God's Word to tap into His abundance. And that's what I was saying. We have the potential. It's there, but we have to turn it on. You have to kick that breaker. And if it's for some reason you let it kick off, you have the resource. You have the ability to go kick it back on. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 9, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word." It's the word of God. Psalms 1, 1 through 3, it says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The Word of God is very clear. When we understand the Word of God, we apply the Word of God, we're going to prosper because of the Word of God. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites are about to enter the promised land. Most of the book, in this book, Moses dedicates this book to telling the people what they must do to receive God's blessings when they dwell in the land. Now, remember, according to the 1 Corinthians, we've studied this extensively, that the Israelites were a type and example for us as believers. They were baptized into Moses. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2 tells us they were baptized in Moses. He's typing an example of Jesus. They were baptized in the Red Sea. That's the type and example of water baptism. They were baptized in the cloud and fire. That's a type and example of baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they crossed over being baptized in all these things. And I want you to understand something. We have had misunderstanding of what the promised land was all about. People have taught for years that the promised land was a type and example of heaven. That, you know, we push through, we go through the Red Sea on the other side so that we can get to the promised land, which is our heaven. That's not what the promised land is all about. The promised land, living here in this earth, is living in the power and the abundance that Jesus Christ has for us. It's here and now. The reason I say that is when they entered in the promised land, they had giants that they had to defeat. They had walled cities that they had to come up against. They had to cross through the Red Sea. They had enemies that they had to battle. Where is that in heaven? That's not part of heaven. That's our life here on this earth. God is telling us that if we will follow His will and get His word, cause His word to become a part of our daily life, we will have victorious living. We will be victorious over giants. We will be victorious over the walled cities. We will be victorious over armies. We can walk in the abundance that Jesus has for us every day of our life. That's what that's all about. Yeah, we're going to, yes, you know, praise God. We look forward to His coming. We look forward to being in heaven with Him. If we die before Jesus Christ returns, hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. But that's a complete life. It's all taken care of for us there. Even when Christ comes to earth, He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And those who refuse to bow, He will make them bow. Now that's a whole different teaching that we'd have to get into about who's going to be here during that period of time. It's important for us to know that Jesus is going to rule. That's what I want to look forward to. Is the kingdom ruling of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to wrap things up here. We're beginning with verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Once again, we're going to see what it says about obeying. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. What do we have to do to have the blessings of God come upon us, according to the Scripture? Obey. You see, we don't have to work hard. We just have to obey. We don't have to do step 1, 2, and 3. We just have to obey. Obedience. That's what it's all about. And when we are obedient, then according to this word and according to the word throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we can walk with the blessings of God. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be with the fruit of your body and produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you your baskets. Blessed shall you be in your baskets and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. What we're talking about is the body of Christ recognizing that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above and not beneath. And we recognize that from the Word of God. And we receive these blessings in our life because we are obedient to the Word of God. Listening to the Word. Obeying the Word. Trusting God's Word. You see, we do things sometimes that keep us from having the blessings of God in our life. Our actions, our attitudes. One of the things we do is we have unforgiveness. We allow bitterness to build up inside. That's why two Christians, people who love Jesus, can have conflict with one another and not want to talk to each other and sit on opposite sides of the church. Because bitterness gets in. That's one of those situations, I'm telling you, that you need to go to the breaker box and flip that breaker and get that nonsense out of your life. You see, you need the power of God to release you from that. Bitterness holds God's people back. Bitterness, according to unforgiveness, according to the Word of God, it says this. Jesus taught that if you harbor unforgiveness, you are turned over to the tormentors. And your life is in torment. You think you're tormenting somebody else. Harboring bitterness, I've heard it said, harboring bitterness and unforgiveness towards somebody is like drinking poison, hoping it's going to kill them. Because it doesn't work. it destroys your life. Stand with me. Matthew West is a contemporary Christian artist, and he has a new song out. It's called Forgiveness. There's a true story behind this song. One of his people that follow him, her name was Renee, and she had a teenage daughter. Her teenage daughter was killed by a drunk driver. And Renee went into depression and became bitter. She really had a tough time. And if you have children, you can relate to what's going on there. Okay, that would not be easy. So she thought, well, to relieve that, she was going to start going around to public schools and talking about the evils of drinking, you know, the consequences of drinking and driving. Not just drinking and driving, but buzz drinking. You know, a lot of teenagers think, well, I just have a little buzz. Or a lot of people think that. Well, that's under the influence of alcohol. So she started this teaching. But she wasn't fulfilled, and she began to realize as she prayed and she sought God that she had bitterness in her heart toward this young man. So she went to the prison where he was. He had a 22-year sentence. She went to the prison and she told him, I forgive you, and the reason I forgive you is because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And she told him about Christ, and the young man accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Well, the relationship developed, and the young man began to grow in Christ, and it became so strong that she felt that she needed to go to the judge and ask for a reduced sentence. So she did. Very soon, that young man is going to be released from prison. He served 11 years of a 22-year sentence, but he's going to be released. And when he's released, this is what's going to happen. He and Renee are going to team up and travel around and talk about that situation. The power of forgiveness. Teens are going to be touched. It's not just going to be about not drinking. It's going to be about salvation in Jesus Christ. Whew, that's good stuff, isn't it? That's the power of God. I want you to know this morning, if there is any part of you that has any bitterness towards someone else, release that today. Release it. Everyone bow your head, please. Glory. Hallelujah. If you feel like you have some unforgiveness and you want that forgiven this morning, I want to ask you to raise your hand. And the reason I'm asking you to do that is because that's an act of faith on your part to ask God to forgive you. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Now I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to pray a prayer with you this morning. Everyone else, pray as well. Glory. Heavenly Father, for each person that has lifted their hand this morning, they do this out of obedience. They've heard this message and they recognize that they want to walk in the abundant life that you have for them. And they can't walk in that abundant life as long as they allow bitterness and unforgiveness to be in their heart. Today, Father God, they are releasing that by faith in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you are healing them. You are touching them. Their heart is receiving, and they are releasing that person to you in Jesus' name. Today, Father, there is complete and total forgiveness being released in this place. The power of the Holy Spirit will go forth from this place today on their behalf. And as they encounter these people, whatever they go through, their situations, they will be able to act with love and kindness. Regardless, the enemy will still try to bring back that bitterness and that unforgiveness, but they will act according to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.